Welcome to You Be the Judge, episode 14. We'll be discussing three fantastic, amazing questions that we'd like to share with you, where you be the judge and you decide who will be right, and then we'll hear from Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein what the potential answers are. Rabbi Newman traveled to Europe in order to solicit funds on behalf of poor families in Eretz Yisrael. In the course of his travels, he visited a town of an extremely wealthy man who unfortunately was known as the town miser. Most collectors didn't even bother going to his home because they knew that this miser would refuse them and also treat them quite harshly. Rabbi Newman decided he was going to be the one that would attempt to open the man's purse strings, and he was going to open them quite wide. As soon as the man noticed Rabbi Newman at his door, he flatly declared, "I am not interested in donating even a penny to your cause." Rabbi Newman smiled and thanked the man for his honesty. Then he added, he just wanted to ask, "Sir, may I ask, what are you saving this money for? You're not a young man. You clearly don't need it for such a long time. So what do you need all this money for? What are you planning to do with all this wealth?" Surprisingly, the man decided to answer the question. He became very serious, looked one way and the other way, and whispered to Rabbi Newman, "I have found out that due to the steady advances in the medical field, there's strong evidence that new cures are being found that can heal bodies instantaneously and bring people to have reversible age. People would eventually be able to go back to their youth, and only those who are able to afford this elixir would be able to spend it. Therefore, I'm saving up money for the time that when this elixir becomes relevant and becomes able to people to be used, I will be able to use it." Rabbi Newman was shocked. He could not believe that the Yetzer Hara could blind a person to such an extent, leading to believe something so ridiculous. This literally bordered on heresy. Hashem told Adam HaRishon, after eating from the Eitz Hadas, that every one of mankind will have inevitable death. Rabbi Newman realized that he would not be able to convince this man of his mistake, so instead he decided to use a different tactic. He informed the man that although he could not give him the elixir of reversible age, he could give him a remedy that would extend one's life, so that way you could be rest assured that when they do find the elixir, you will be the first in line. The miser's face lit up. "Really? You know the way that I can have a prolonged life? What is that?" Rabbi Newman answered that the tried and true regimen to merit a long life is tzedakah. The man asked Rabbi Newman, "Are you really telling me the truth? You promise?" He says, "Yes, I am." The man was so intrigued that he pulled out his checkbook and wrote Rabbi Newman a very generous check. Rabbi Newman now had pangs of conscience bothering him. On the one hand, he figured, what a fool this man was. I tricked him on the oldest one in the book, Staka Tatsami Mavis, and he believed that. He thinks he's going to live for a long life. It's under pretenses that is not possible to be true. But yet, I got money out of him. It's for tzedakah, a worthy cause. But do the ends justify the means? Are you allowed to steal in order to promote, technically, your own bank account? True, it's for tzedakah, but it's also helping yourself too. Where is Rabbi Newman's allegiance lie? To the truth? To being honest? Or maybe this is a form of honesty. And although the Gemara tells us, the one who gives tzedakah, Al-Manas Shiyichya Bini is a tzaddik gomer, the commentaries explain that the donor certainly had intent to benefit the poor as well. Rashi writes that he fulfilled Hashem's mitzvah and also intended to merit his son's welfare as well. But here, this miser, who's a little bit of a kook, like they say, what's the difference between crazy and weird, and that's a couple dollars. This person who's a weirdo, and he decides that he is going to find this elixir, Rabbi Newman tricked him. So the question is, does he get the money or not? Or do we say that he was truthful in what he was saying? The Rambam in Hilchos Gerushin Beis Chav tells us that deep down every single Jew wants to desire to do the right thing. But what stops us? Sa'ar Shabisa, the yeast on the dough. The Yetzer Hara makes things much bigger than they are, and he slows us down and gets other things in the way, and discombobulates us, and we're not able to properly produce. And he says a person really should do the right thing. Unfortunately, Our sincerity is obscured by our evil inclination. However, once somebody is coerced by Bezin to act properly, that just weakens the Yetzirah's grip, and now the real Jew comes shining forth. In this case as well, the wealthy man was in the tight, iron-like vice of this Yetzirah that would not allow him to give tzedakah to anyone for anything. So to do that, you sometimes have to give him a whack and to properly coerce him to do what's the right thing for his own benefit. Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan Spector in his Sefer Nachal Yitzchak writes, if a wicked person does a mitzvah, his mitzvah is rejected as long as he does not do tshuva. However, with tzedakah, that's not the case. Even if somebody gives tzedakah with an ulterior motive, he still gets eternal reward. Because tzedakah is different than other mitzvahs. Because regardless of intent, the mitzvah was accomplished. Did you give tzedakah? Yes or no? That is the only thing we care about. In this case as well, although it was under false pretenses of giving the tzedakah, the fact is the wealthy man provided sustenance and life for the poor and downtrodden, and therefore Rabbi Newman was correct. In return for his giving tzedakah, indeed, he got himself eternal life. Question number two. Yitzchak was being tortured and broken by the inhumane conditions that the Nazis had created in the ghetto. He knew that his neighbor, who was an elderly sick man, was going to be taken out to the fields within the hour to be killed. Yitzchak was aware that his neighbor, who was gone, had some money in his pocket hanging off of one of the shelves. And he knew that the Nazis would go through people's belongings and either confiscate or burn anything that they would find. Yitzchak, who would still remain in the ghetto, knew that the money had potential value. He would be able to prolong his life. The question was, is Yitzchak allowed to take his neighbor's money without permission, since the money is of no longer a benefit to its owner? Or do we say, no, it's still the owner's. Until he is dead, you cannot take anyone's item away from them. The Torah tells us that Noach was commanded by Hashem to take for himself food during the flood to sustain himself and the animals in the Teva. The Kli Yakar explains, Hashem did not allow Noach to take food that belonged to others because Noach could have justified saying that I know everyone is going to die anyways, so therefore I'll preempt it and take whatever I know will be rightfully mine. Therefore Hashem warned him, Noach, you have no permission to take from other people. However, you could argue and say that that case of Noach might be different than over here. Why? Because in the case of Noach, Hashem really desired that the people should actually repent. So really, Hashem said, don't take it. I want to give them every last moment that they could maybe repent. However, in the case of the Nazis, nothing is going to stop them. There are almost no survivors once they decided to kill their prisoners. True, the Nazis could stop their decree, and we know, afilu cherev chada, even if a sharp blade of the sword, munachas al tzavar she'odam, is resting on someone's neck, al yimna asman nerachem, the Gemara Bracha says, do not withhold yourself from the racham e'Hashem. A miracle could always take place. Since there's no natural way for a person to be saved in the case of the Nazis, perhaps his possessions are deemed hefker, ownerless. That being the case, Yitzchak's situation cannot be comparable at all to the Mabel, to the flood. Because the entire flood was unnatural. It was purely a punishment from Hashem, and Hashem himself was anticipating they do tshuva. The Gemara in Baba Kama, in Kuf Tesvav on the base, tells us that if someone realizes that a robber is about to accost him, he is not allowed to use the money in his own pocket to redeem Meiser Sheni fruits that he owns. Why? It's money. Why can't I use it? Because the money is about to be stolen, we automatically consider it as hefker. Says in Sivas HaMishpat, in Shin Samach Aleph, Beis, that the victim has given up hope of retaining his money as surely as he had lost it already. Even if someone else will come and save the victim from this robber, it's as if he saved money from a lion or an oncoming river, and the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Chavtal Adam and Av tells us that the rescuer is allowed to keep the money because we see that there's an automatic yish, or what we call it, that the Wi-Fi connection between the item and the person got moved off and no longer is it connected to the owner. The Chazidish in Baba Kama, Tes Zion Hey, comments on this Nesivos and says that as long as the owner still has hope of retaining his possessions, then the possessions belong to him. The owner could hope to either overcome the robber, flight or fight, escape, hide his money. The Gemara in Baba Kama is referring to a highway robbery from which there is no escape. He knows the roads, he's familiar, and he is a brutal murderer. He will not stop at nothing to get your money. In such case, the owner knows there's no hope of ever retaining his belongings, and it's an automatic yish. Accordingly, in the Holocaust, when people had no hope of keeping their belongings, even when they were in prison, it's probable one could take their money and then use it to prolong their own life. And just we have to add this caveat. Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, when he had a group of very wealthy American businessmen around his table, he said to them, what's the lesson of the Holocaust? One people said, never again. We have to have a Medinat Yisrael. He said, no. All those may be a nice answer, but the correct one is, don't lose your humanity. And it's true, you were able to prolong your life. But it at least should go with the cost of, should I have done it, should I have not? And then you do what you got to do. But don't lose your humanity. And that's the lesson that the Holocaust taught us, which is, despite the fact that people mistreat us, we don't mistreat others. Final question. Yoav owns a fancy fleishig meat restaurant in an irreligious neighborhood. It's not uncommon for a customer to enter the restaurant with one or more dogs in tow. Many people order multiple portions for themselves and for the dog. When Yoav asked one such customer why he felt the need to feed the dog such expensive cuisine, the customer was taken aback. What? My Fluffy? It's like my child. I'm not going to give my child leftovers. Yoav has become a full-fledged Baal Tshuva, and he personally has raised the standard of kashrus in the establishment. He also goes to a daily Daf Yomi Shir. And one day he learned the Gemara in Tainus Chaf Amud Beis says that food that is fit for human consumption should not be fed to animals because it's bizei oichel. You're disparaging the food. Rashi tells us as one reason. A second reason, Rashi says, is not only is it bizei oichel and you're showing lack of appreciation to Hashem, it's a waste of one's money since the animals could survive with less expensive fare. And the Torah is particular of Baal Tashkis, not to squander one's assets, as well as this halacha is brought in the Mishnah Berurah in Kuf Ayin Aleph, Yud Aleph, that adds from the Eliyahu Rabbah an unresolved question whether this is the accepted ruling. Yoav wants to know, am I allowed to continue to provide expensive portions of food for the animals that accompany my customers that although I'm making some good money from some foolish people, but the question is it a problem or not? And this, Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein says the following. Yoav technically is not serving the dog. Rather, he's servicing the customer. The customer is choosing to give his portions or his food over to his dog. Therefore, now, the question is now, are you allowed to serve it? But rather, a different question, which is that not lifne iver leisiten michshol? Are you not providing a stumbling block in front of a blind man by giving this irreligious customer something that he is now being mevaza the food, and he is now showing complete lack of appreciation to Hashem, and he is showing that he doesn't care about his assets being completely wasted. Rav Moshe Feinstein in Igros Moshe in Yeridea Aleph Ein Beis writes that one is allowed to rent out a reading hall to an irreligious couple, even if during the celebration the couple will be involved in activities that go against halacha. The hall's owner technically could say, I'm not providing any forbidden substance. The hall could be used for acceptable forms of merriment. They're choosing to use illegal forms. It's not on me. However, in our case over here, even though Yoav could say, it's not my fault, he's choosing to be foolish, Yoav or his waiters should not actually serve the dog. They should place both portions in front of the customer and explain the halacha to him. If the customer decides to feed his dog this portion, that is no longer of Yoav's concern. He already gave his idea of that this is not proper. Similarly, the Poskim allow restaurant owners to cater to people who will not make a bracha. They either won't wash their hands before eating bread, with the condition that there's clearly a visible sign stating that one should wash before eating bread, and a sign that displays the various brachas recited before and after eating. It's there. They're choosing not to. However, there's an exception where you could feed Fluffy, and that is if it will be on Erev Pesach. If one has a great deal of usable chametz remaining in one's possession, and one did not sell it to the rabbi to give over to a non-Jew. There is no degradation to the food by feeding it to an animal, assuming there are no other human volunteers available to consume the chametz, because that is tashbisu, getting rid of the chametz, and in that case, that would be allowed. And what you see from here is, you have to be careful who you feed your food to, and how it is being consumed at all times. Thank you for listening.